Now, this week I want to talk, my message is about love, praise, and blessing. Amen. We've already got into the praising. Yeah. But the message is really love, praise, and blessing. And I want to talk a little bit to you about the importance of just knowing how to be praising and blessing and filled with that love. Now, we can do that because we are no longer under the law. We are no longer under the commandments. Remember the laws? The laws are what Moses received from God, and then God gave to, or Moses gave to the people, and he said, you need to follow these. Thou shalt not, do not do this, do not do that, do not do that. Remember that? All those commandments were the laws that God had passed down to Moses and given him. But we're no longer under the law of God anymore. We're not under that because we have received the gift of righteousness in Jesus' name. Say amen to that. Amen. We have received the gift of righteousness. And what that means that none of us could fulfill those laws, those commandments. None of us could do them all. Nobody who ever lived or walked on the earth ever was able to fulfill all those laws. And there was 10 commandments that you remember, right? 10 commandments. But there, in the Jewish tradition, there were 600 plus more laws on top of that. And there was nobody who was ever able to fulfill them all. That's why God came down as a man and walked on the earth, because God can do all things. All things are possible with God.
Amen.
Now, God, in that human form that we know as Jesus, he came and he fulfilled all the laws. He did them all perfectly. And he fulfilled all the prophecies. So every prophet that said, this guy is going to come, our Messiah is going to come, he fulfilled those prophecies as well. So he fulfilled the law and the prophecies. In doing that, he now became righteous. So he now, as a man, in the form of a man, he now became righteous. What that means now is in right standing with God. In right standing with God. Because he was in right standing with God now, he could be reconciled back with God, meaning he could be brought together with God and be one with God. And this is the gift, and because he didn't keep it for himself, this was the gift of God for us, that he would give us this gift of righteousness. We now receive the gift of righteousness by inviting Jesus into our heart. When we invite Jesus into our heart, we are made righteous. Say, I am righteous.
I am righteous.
If you've received Jesus into your heart, you need to believe that and know that you are righteous. You have been made in right standing with God. How does God see us when we're in right standing with him? Listen to what it says here in Isaiah 43:25. This is, God is speaking through the prophet Isaiah, and he says, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. God is saying this. I don't remember your sins no more. I don't remember them. I have blotted them out. Now, if God has blotted them out, that means they do not exist anymore, except for in the illusion of your own mind. When you receive Jesus, you take on, you become Christ. You take on Jesus. You become him. You receive his righteousness. That's how it works. You receive his righteousness, and God has removed from us all the iniquities, all the mistakes, all the shortcomings. We call that sin. All of that has been removed from us. Jesus took it upon himself. So Jesus takes what's not working, what's not good, and he gives us the gift of righteousness. Meaning now we are in right standing with God. We can be now reconciled with God. It did not happen because of our own work. It wasn't works. It wasn't what we did. We didn't earn it. We didn't do something impressive. Sometimes we put on a performance and we try to say how great we are, you know. But it wasn't because of something we did. It was a gift that was given to us. Do you have to do something when somebody gives you a gift? No. You don't have to do something to get a gift. You just have to receive it. You just have to take it and say, thank you, I like this. This is what God did. He gave us a gift. He knew that nobody could fulfill all those laws. It wasn't possible. So he didn't make it about works, and it was never about you being able to fulfill the laws, because nobody could do it. No person could do it. Only God could do it. So God came down as a man and did it. And then he gave you a gift, the gift of righteousness, meaning now that all those laws have been fulfilled in your heart. You're in right standing with God. You now can stand in the presence of God again. You now can stand in the light of God. When God looks at you, he doesn't see mistakes. He doesn't see blemishes. He doesn't see your flaws. He sees you exactly the way that he saw Jesus.
Amen.
Perfect. Amen. Say amen to that. He sees you as perfect. And it wasn't done by work. It wasn't done by your own effort. You couldn't have done it. You couldn't have done it, but God can do it. We have to understand that and receive his help. And when we receive it, when we invite Jesus into our heart, now we're made righteous.
Amen.
Now the good life begins.
Praise God.
In Romans 4:14, it says, for if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect. Paul is talking about here how he wants you to understand that it's not through the law, it's not through your own works of the law that you have received the promises. It's through faith, through your believing, your faith in Jesus, believing that this is God that came down in the flesh and fulfilled all the promises. When you understand that and you believe that, now you receive the righteousness. That's what fulfills the promises. So the faith is what is doing it. The faith is what's working. In Romans 4:15, he says, but to him who does not work but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. So here he's saying it's not about working. It's not about the works that you're doing that makes you righteous. It's that you believe, that you have faith in what God has done. And you know that the promises are fulfilled. Now you receive it.
Amen.
Okay? So this is what he's talking about. In Romans 10:4, he says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. So when we receive Jesus into our hearts, it is by faith, it is by believing, it is by grace, it is not by work. There is nothing that you could have done to do that. What that means, though, is now you're righteous. You're not under the law anymore. You're not under the law. That means you're not having to work to try to fulfill those 600 plus commandments, or the 10 if you only want to do 10. You don't have to. They were already fulfilled and finished by Jesus. That's why when he hung on the cross, he said, it is finished. Because amen. Because he fulfilled it when he walked on the earth. We couldn't do it. But now we receive that gift of righteousness. So there we have it. We have this wonderful righteousness in us. Now we should be living the good life. Now we should be filled with the love. Now we should have the blessing. Say amen to that. And so here's an interesting thing, though. As I was reading, it says here, if that's the case, if we have already this good righteousness and we don't have to do anything, then what is Jesus talking about in John chapter 14, verse 21? John chapter 14, verse 21, he says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself with him. Now, I just said you weren't under the commandments anymore. You didn't have to do the laws because you had received it by grace, not by working, meaning you didn't have to work for it. But now here in John 14, 21, Jesus says, he who has my commandments and keeps them. What commandments is he talking about? Because I just said you're not under the commandments. Now, you might be saying, oh, wait a minute, Ted. I'm going to believe Jesus over you. if I got to pick, I'm going to... Well, let's go a little further before, you know, because I'm still in alignment here with Jesus. We're together still. Because here in John 15, verse 10. Here's what it says. This is Jesus speaking. If you keep my commandments and abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Wait a minute. There's a distinction here. He's saying there's my commandments and then there's my Father's commandments. Jesus is saying, I kept my Father's commandments. What were the Father's commandments? Those are the ones that the Father, that God gave to Moses on the mountain. And then Moses gave to the people. Those were all the do nots. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not covet. All of those do nots were the Father's commandments. So there's a difference here. Because in this verse, as I read it again, listen carefully. It says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So what is his commandments? Because he's saying there's some sort of commandment. If we go down to verse 15, this is John 15, verse 12. Jesus still speaking. He says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Say amen to that.
Amen.
So Jesus now has fulfilled the Father's commandments, and he has given us by grace, by faith, we have received righteousness. We have been made in right standing with God. And now we are not under the law. We're not having to work for it. We have received this gift. And now all we have to do is love one another. Say amen to that.
Amen.
So all we have to do is love one another. That's what our assignment is now. Your assignment, now that you've received Jesus into your heart and you have righteousness, meaning you're in right standing with God, you've been reconciled with God, your job is to love one another. Love one another. Can you do that? I like that. That's something we can do. That's a great thing. So it's important to understand that, because sometimes as you're reading, if you see him say, Jesus saying, we'll keep my commandments, and you don't know what he's talking about, you'll start to think, oh man, I've got to go back and fulfill all those commandments that Moses gave. And now you put yourself back under works. Back under the law. Now you have the burden of those two tablets hanging above your head. But that's not what Jesus is saying when he says, my commandments. His commandment was for you to love one another. That's his commandment. He fulfilled the commandments that the Father gave. All those laws that were written on stone tablets were fulfilled by him. So that we now can receive his gift of righteousness. Remember that? Now he's saying, take that upon yourself. My yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Amen.
He wants us to give him our burden and he'll give us his. And his is easy. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. And it's much easier to just love one another now, isn't it? So why was there the law? Why did God give us the law if he knew none of us would be able to fulfill it? None of us would be able to complete it. Why would God give us the law? Anybody ever ask yourself that? I'm asking you today. But here's the reason. See, God was protecting us. God had to protect us from ourselves. You know, sometimes we don't have enough knowledge of how things are working or how the world is, and we don't know what is safe, and we don't know what is unsafe. We don't know what is dangerous, and we don't know, you know, what's going to harm us. So as a result of that, God put in place these laws to protect us. And you often will even, if you've ever had children or been around children, you often will be using this too. You say stuff like, do not touch the stove, right? Do not eat off the floor. Do not pull the cat's tail. Why are you saying that? Because the child doesn't know the stove is hot. It's going to burn them. They don't understand that there's little bacterial things on the floor as they're licking it and eating off of it. And you've got to say, do not eat off the floor. Do not touch the stove. If you pull that cat's tail, it's going to scratch you. So do not pull the cat's tail. See, the child doesn't know the dangers that are in their world until you warn them and say, don't do that, right? So this is what God was doing. We were like spiritually, we were like little children. We had such lack of understanding in the spiritual world and the way God's creation worked. And because of that, he had to give us this warning to say, okay, guys, don't go near there. That road is dangerous. Do not touch that stove. It's hot. That's essentially what he is saying in the laws. He is warning us because we're children spiritually. We don't have the understanding that we should. And so as a result, he's keeping us out of trouble. Now, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 24, Paul says, therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under the tutor. So, Paul is saying that the law was our tutor. It was teaching us. That's what I was just saying. It's like your parents telling you don't do all that stuff. It's because they're teaching you what is dangerous and what is safe, and you're learning, you're growing. At some point, though, you get to a level of maturity, I hope, in your life, right? You should get to a level of maturity that now you know for yourself what is safe to do in the world and what is unsafe, right? You now know, look both ways before you cross the street. You now know the stove is hot. So nobody has to tell you that anymore. Now you can start to go out and do what you're supposed to do. You can go now and begin to live your life. You get to that point where you're mature enough and old enough, you just start to do the things you were created to do in the world. Say amen to that.
Amen.
That makes sense, right? So this is how the law was put into place for us to reach maturity. Now, we come into spiritual maturity when we receive Jesus. Get that? Because he has already fulfilled everything, and when we receive Jesus, we are reconciled with God. We are now filled with the Spirit of God. We now have God on the inside. That means we grow up. We are new creatures. We have matured almost instantaneous. We went from being children, not understanding the kingdom of God. We received the Spirit of God, and now we're like grown-ups in the Spirit of God, in the kingdom of God. We have matured, and now we're not under the do nots anymore. Do not do this and do not do that. We're not under the law anymore because we have matured and we're now growing up, filled with the Spirit of God. Now it's about what you can do. That's why Jesus' commandment is love one another. It's not do not, it's now do. Love. Love one another is the commandment now that you're under because you are now mature enough to do that. Now, why? God could not give that commandment before he came and walked on the earth. Because how would you love one another if you did not have love? You could not love one another without love, and God is love, and we were separated from God, meaning we did not have love in us. We did not have God's love in us that we could love one another. So if he would have told us, I want you to love one another, we still would have failed because we did not have the love in us. But now that we receive Jesus, we receive the Spirit of God, which is the Spirit of love because God is love. We receive that Spirit of love. Now we have grown up and matured. And now because we are filled with love, we can now do it. We can go out and love one another because it is God's love in us that's doing the work.
Amen.
Say amen to that.
Amen.
It is the Spirit within that does the work. And that is the Spirit of love, the Spirit of God. So as we now love, we are connected, we are reconciled with the source of love. We are reconciled with the source of love so that all love that God has can flow through me and I can love, go out and love people in the world. And now because I can love people, I can love them however they are. And when God's love comes out of me upon them, it begins to change them and transform them. Say amen to that.
Amen.
That's the will of God right there. So this is what we have. So now, this is why now we're in a place where we are spiritually more mature now, not because of something we did, other than we received Jesus. You know, so it's not by works, it's not by fulfilling the law. It's not that we have studied so incredibly hard that we've gotten so smart that we know about the kingdom of God. No, it was because of the gift, because we had faith in Jesus, and by grace we're given the gift, and we mature now because we receive the Spirit of God. We become a new creature. We become a new creature in the kingdom of God with the ability now to love one another. So now as you go out into the world, what's your mission? You should be loving, praising, and blessing. Loving, praising, and blessing. As you go out into the world, if you get into the habit that everywhere you go, you just let the Spirit of God go to work. Let the Spirit of love begin to pour out of you. Loving people, loving one another. That's what God said to do. That's what Jesus is saying. Love one another. And as you love and you're praising God, remember when I said you praise God, His love begins to shower down upon you. And here's a few other commandments that God gave, but I want to tell you here in John 12:50, it says, "And I know that His command," this is Jesus speaking, "and I know that His command is everlasting life." Gee, I hope I can fulfill that one. But we don't have to. You know why? Because Jesus fulfilled that too. He gives us everlasting life when we believe in Him. So He fulfilled the command that God had for everlasting life, even here as we read. And another one, behold, this is Numbers 23:20. It says, "Behold, I have received a command to bless." Another command of God, to bless. Well, guess what? You don't have to fulfill that either. Because when you receive Jesus, the blessing of God, that was His command from the very beginning when He first created us. And He made us in His own likeness, in the image of God He made us, male and female He made us. The first thing He said to us was, be blessed. So that was His command from the beginning. But again, we don't have to fulfill that command. Why? Because Jesus fulfilled that command. When we receive Jesus, we are blessed. We have the blessing of God now inside of us, in our lives. We have the blessing. So we have eternal life and we have the blessing of God. It is in our life manifesting in all ways. So the only thing we got to do is love, praise, and we can go out there and be a blessing unto the world. By loving and praising God, by spreading His love, by just loving one another, we are spreading the blessing so that they can now see that God, so that now they can now invite Jesus into their hearts, so that they can now be matured. The people in the world is they. That they can now be matured and grow in God, and now they can be filled with the Spirit of God, the Spirit of love. And this is the will of God. Our only job now is to love one another. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Can you do that?
Yes.
Isn't that easy? All of those other commandments that you were once under, that you were once thinking you had to try to do, which nobody can do, you don't have to do them anymore because they've been done. Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. And when you received His finished works, the gift of righteousness came in. You have it now. And you have the Spirit of love now. And now you can go and do what Jesus is saying. Love one another. As you go out there this week, open your heart to let the Spirit of love, the Spirit of God, which is on the inside of you, let it come out. And let that Spirit of love flow into your family members. I know some of them are crotchety and grouchy and they irritate the heck out of you. But I'm telling you, open your heart and let the Spirit of love flow through you and watch what happens. Watch what happens, because I'm telling you, I'm guaranteeing something's going to change in that relationship with that person. You might have somebody that just bothers the heck out of you, but I'm telling you, open your heart on that Thanksgiving day, that Thanksgiving dinner, every week this day actually, you don't have to just wait till then. And let the Spirit of love flow into that situation. And you watch how the person changes. You watch how the situation changes. You watch how the atmosphere in the whole room changes. Because you are spiritually mature. Because you have received the gift of righteousness. Because you have the Spirit of God on the inside. Say amen to that. This is the blessing that God has wanted to give us from the very beginning. And this is the blessing that you have received. And now this is a blessing that as you go into the world loving one another and praising God, you are going to be a blessing to other people in the world. You can now bless other people because the Spirit of God is on the inside. And when you let that love come out, it will bless them. Their lives will change. Say amen to that.
Amen.